SBS acknowledges the traditional custodians of country and their connections and continuous care for the skies, lands and waterways across Australia.
You're listening to Australia Explained, an SBS audio podcast helping you navigate life in Australia.
Every week, passionate Australians take to the streets in protest for important causes. Protesting is not inherently illegal, but protesters may occasionally violate the law with extreme or antisocial behaviour.
If you're going to a protest in Australia, it will be hopefully protected by the police. That's their role in a protest, to help you protest and allow you to protest.
Welcome to this episode of Australia Explained. I'm Maram Smail. If you are protesting, your chances of getting into trouble depend on where you are and how you behave. So let's learn more about your right to protest in Australia. Although Australians believe they have the right to protest, the Constitution does not explicitly outline this right. Luke McNamara is a professor at the Faculty of Law and Justice at the University of New South Wales. He says under the Constitution, we have the right to communicate about political matters.
There are some examples of express recognition of the right to peaceful assembly in a small number of jurisdictions that have human rights acts, like Victoria, the ACT and Queensland. But for most parts of the country and nationally, there's no specific place that says you have the right to protest. And yet, part of our common law tradition is that we embrace the idea of a right to protest.
Protesting laws vary across Australia, and they can be broad and vague. In Queensland and Western Australia, mining is a huge industry that attracts a lot of public scrutiny, so these states have stronger anti-protest legislation. You can't be charged for attending a protest. However, you can be charged for unacceptable behaviour while protesting. Professor McNamara explains.
Doing harm to others, damaging property, they're unacceptable. As to what is acceptable, it really is a question of degree. So the behaviour is really assessed on a case-by-case basis. So, for example, the acceptability of a particular protest activity, whether it's a march or a sit-down or a lock-in or whatever it might be, that's going to be assessed by police officers on the spot.
Acceptable behaviour extends to what you take to a protest. Amnesty International campaigner Nikita White says you don't want police to find something in your possession that could cause harm.
You can take banners and posters to a protest. You can take works of art that may be about your protest, but you should be careful about anything you have on you that might be considered a weapon. If it's knives or flares, you should definitely not have them with you, just on the off chance that you are searched.
Most people have experienced disruption to their routines during a street march. It's one of the biggest pressure points for governments and can prompt the introduction of new restrictions. Professor McNamara believes we must accept some interruption to our lives if we are committed to the right to protest.
It's fair to say that disruption is inherent to the activity of protesting. We've seen a lot of agitation in recent years by governments and some other stakeholders suggesting that it's inappropriate for protesters to disrupt. But if you think about it, the whole point of a public protest is to gather attention, to encourage people to stop and reflect and listen to the message that's being conveyed.
It's a polarizing issue, and each jurisdiction penalizes people who cause significant disruption. Across Australia, however, protesting at a critical business location, such as a significant port, road or logging area, or preventing people from getting to work can be subject to anti-protest laws. Dr. Sarah Moulds is an associate professor of law at the University of South Australia. She says that in extreme cases, you face serious penalties, including up to 2 years in prison.
So you don't have to intend to cause other people any type of hardship. You don't have to intend that people were going to be late for work or really badly disrupted. You just have to do the thing and you could be caught. But in practice, these laws have not been used very much at all. When they have been used, it's been in the more serious cases. For example, in Queensland, where there's been cases of people being prosecuted when they clamp themselves to a bridge or a road.
South Australia currently imposes the most severe fines for obstruction of a public place, with offenders facing up to a 3-month prison sentence. In addition to obstruction, standard charges in Australia include trespassing, protesting while wearing a disguise, obstructing an emergency worker, using threatening or offensive language, and damaging property. In reality, though, only protesters who exhibit extreme antisocial behaviour are arrested, Ms. White says.
Most people who are arrested are engaging in civil disobedience, which is where someone intentionally breaks the law as part of a protest. So they may lock themselves on to a building, they may unfurl a banner from a bridge, or something else that isn't violent but is breaking the law as part of a protest.
The strengthening of anti-protest laws in recent years has changed the way many Australians feel about protesting. Dr. Mould says the Human Rights Law Centre has reported 34 protest bills or attempts to change the law in the past 20 years, and 26 have been passed.
Most of those 26 laws that have passed have made it harder to protest. So increase the penalties around the country. So I think overall you can say there is a trend towards criminalising aspects of protest. What we see in most places in Australia is the type of conduct they're criminalising is that conduct that happens at a certain place.
This is why obtaining formal approval is essential to protesting in Australia. If you are planning a large public assembly, such as a street march, you can ask the police or your local government for permission. Most places will approve. Professor McNamara explains.
If your assembly is an approved one, then you are exempt from some of the powers which police might otherwise exercise to close down your protest. So, for example, traffic obstruction can be allowed for a period of time if it is an approved protest and streets have been blocked for that purpose or the march has been supervised, those sorts of things.
An authorised protest gives you some confidence that the police won't intervene or move the crowds on. Nikita White says police can still attend an approved protest.
If you're going to a protest in Australia, it will be hopefully protected by the police. That's their role in a protest, to help you protest and allow you to protest. And if something does go wrong in that unlikely case, make sure you reach out to a lawyer and they can explain the charges to you and what can be done.
In the unlikely event you are detained, community legal centres can ensure your rights are respected. Most protest-related charges attract a fine rather than jail time. Dr. Mould says these are usually no more than a few $100.
We do luckily live in a society where police and prosecutors and judges really still value this freedom and so haven't been applying the most serious penalties. If you have privilege and access to knowledge, you can organise a protest where you won't be subject to criminal law. It's just that when people don't know about those processes, they can be at risk of some kind of legal consequence.
Organisations such as the Human Rights Law Centre, Amnesty International and the New South Wales Council for Civil Liberties will provide accurate information about protesting and the law across Australia. Thank you for listening to this episode of Australia Explained. Written and produced by Melissa Campagnoni, hosted by me, Madame Smail. Australia Explained Managing Editor is Rosa Germian.
This was an SBS audio podcast. For more Australia Explained stories, visit sbs.com.au/Australia Explained.